Okay. All right, so we're going to start off in Romans chapter 13, verse
8. I said, excuse me.
Cassia, can you open? Can you read that? Much proper English, probably too proper, right?
Yeah.
No, so what are things people owe other people?
Money.
Money. Actually, that's probably number one answer, right?
Yeah.
Right?
That's actually a fact.
It's okay. Yeah, that's too many bunnies. So, is it wrong, according to Paul, is it wrong to take out a loan?
What's a loan?
What's a loan is where you borrow money from the bank or anyone, actually.
No.
No,
well,
not if you pay it back.
Depends on the
circumstance.
Depends on the circumstance.
You pay it off.
Okay. The right answer is out there is... It may not be the best way to get something because there's a lot of people that maybe take loans out when they just want something really bad, but they don't want to wait, right? Because obviously, you know, you don't want to pay interest. We all know about interest, right? Or you pay money to borrow. So you pay money. If somebody gives you $100, you'll have to give them $150 back because you get the $100 now. Because there's interest. It's just, I'm just throwing out a figure. So the interest. So it's better if you have the full money and you're not borrowing money. But there is nothing wrong with borrowing money. There's nothing wrong with borrowing money. In Psalms 37, 21. Aiden, can you read that? Not bub. And Aiden. So I think bub hit on the nose is that it's not wrong if you pay the money back that you borrowed. Right? Because it says the wicked doesn't repay. I feel like the New International Version translation may be a little bit easier to fully understand. It says, Romans 13, 8, it says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt of love one another. For whoever loves others will fulfill the law. Huh? You still... It still doesn't?
Yeah.
Well, so is it about the love being a debt? Is it okay debt? Huh?
Oh,
nobody, nothing but love. What I mean, but I love that person. Why am I not, why do I still have to love that person? I already loved him. I already paid back, right? Because love, but love never stops, right? Love never ends. So that's why we're never going to be fulfilled in that part as far as we're never going to pay back. So it's always a debt. And that's why there's a debt there. But if Paul's talking about love, he's not only talking about a physical object like money. Right? Does that make sense? So when it's talking about owing somebody, it's not just about money. So if we're going to look at this verse and kind of understand it a little bit better, and I've said this before, I don't know if you guys remember, but what is a good thing to do in the Bible if you don't really understand the one verse you're reading? Cry about it. Good. Right. Read the verses in front of it, kind of get a contents. So we'll do that. Romans 13, 7. Bub? Yes, Bub.
Render therefore to all their dues, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor.
What? It's saying give things to, if they ask you, like it was the first part of the chapter is about government. So if there's taxes, we live in this land, so if there's taxes, we should pay taxes. If there's customs, and customs in that time would be, is more or less paying money to, but it's talking about, if there's customs, do customs. You pay that. And fear is more of a respect. It could be replaced with the word respect. If that person, that position deems respect, you should give respect to it. If that person deems honor, we should honor that person. It's kind of like, do you owe your parents anything? Kind of. What do you owe them?
Love and respect.
Love and respect, right? Huh? They don't expect our most parents right now, until you get older, they might want rent, maybe. But right now, they don't expect you to pay rent, right? So they pay for your food, typically. Yeah, for the most part. But you should owe them respect and honor. So we should first, with everybody we meet, we should show them respect instead of owing them an apology later. Right? That makes sense? We respect others. But if we do, meaning we do the wrong thing, and we owe them an apology, we should pay that debt as soon as possible. Our first opportunity. We shouldn't just, I'll do it later. And always putting things off. That's talking about the wicked man, not repaying. Is we should repay our debts. And like I said, love, it's never fulfilled. It's always a debt because we're never done showing other people love. Now, how does love fulfill the law? I mean, it's just love. How does it fulfill the law? How does it keep the law in us? Yes. It depends on what law. Okay, let's pick a law. Let's say murder.
Well, if you love the person, not the murderer.
What about coveting?
What is coveting?
Coveting. Coveting. That's it's wanting something other people have.
That was a big word. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. It was a big word. That's why I screwed it up. So how does the love keep that law?
You won't want to take what's not yours.
It's the same thing. What about stealing?
Well, if you love somebody, you won't steal what's not yours.
This is pretty easy.
That's pretty easy, right? So love, what does love do? It fulfills the law. Huh? Right, it overrides things, right? What about committing adultery? It would be lack of love. If you did it, it'd be definitely lack of love. So in Romans 13, 9 through 10, Luke has this. Luke has it. Luke has it.
Wait, yo, what? Oh, okay, whatever. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. Wait, what?
Covet.
If there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law.
I like how Paul talks about COVID-19 right here. That's great. It's covet. Yeah, it's covet. Yeah. So like we said, love fulfills the law. So the second part, so there, if you take the Ten Commandments and you split it down, sort of the middle, there's the first four and then there's the last six. It talks about the relationship between man and other men. That includes women too. They just say man. So if you show others love, you will want the best for them, so that you're looking out for their best interest, plus you don't want to hurt them. So with that, if you always have that and it's true, then you won't be doing anything to hurt them. Therefore, you're keeping the law. Now, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, it says. Just like how we want nothing to hurt us, right? Nobody wants to have somebody hurt them. And you want the best for yourselves. That's the way we should feel about our neighbor. Now, Jesus got asked the same question I'm going to ask you guys, is who is my neighbor? How'd you know?
Anyone that isn't you.
Huh?
Anyone that isn't you.
Anyone but you.
Everyone
around you.
Fine, that's basically what I said.
Like the person sitting next to you, the person that has the same fence line as you. Right? Right, Cassia? That's your neighbor.
Where'd she go? Who's my neighbor?
Well, ask the question. Who's your neighbor?
Everybody.
Everyone.
Come on.
What? All right, we're gonna go out of order, but so I'm throwing a loop to TJ. Is Leviticus 19:18.
Are you serious right now?
It's one out of order. Come on, we could do this.
Wait,
oh, you got this. Anna, can you read that, please? Okay.
You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord.
All right, so this is obviously in the New or Old Testament?
Old
Testament, right. Got it. So this is how most Jews at that time viewed who their neighbor was. Who does it say their neighbor is? Is it still up there? Yes.
The children.
Just children.
Children
of Israel. So it's kind of weird. So they mainly translated this as people, their people, right? Their fellow countrymen. Their family are the people that lived in the same area as them. All right, so that's just keeping that in mind. That's how the people who asked Jesus the same question. And then Jesus told him a parable. Yeah. In Luke 10, 29 through 31, and I already asked TJ to read it, sorry. He said he would, because there was a lot, and he said he volunteers. Yes, you may use the restroom.
I don't? No. I thought I was just going to ruin my
job. But it's politeness.
Yeah, be polite,
actually. Okay, I'm just saying, if you need to...
All right. We are ready for your... No, 35.
Well, because it separates it. That's what it is.
Okay, so it's a long one. It's the whole parable.
I got this, Gary.
So sit back, relax. Not necessarily, but usually, yeah. Yeah, usually. So how many men are in this story?
Five.
There's five. The innkeeper doesn't have a big, huge part, and he doesn't really affect, or he doesn't change the outcome necessarily. But he is there. I just figured people were going to try to... It's a trick question, right? So typically we're talking about four people, right? We're typically talking about four people. So who's one of them? One of the people we're talking about?
Luke?
He's the one telling the story. Well, you're writing it down. The priest. All right, the priest. So let's talk about the priest. Who's the priest? What does the priest represent? Yes, somebody.
You don't have to raise your hand.
You raise your hand. You're trying to raise your hand. The priest. So let's hear your description of the priest.
A priest is someone who represents God to people.
That's a good... He represents God to the people, right? He studied God's law, no doubt, right? He obviously read Leviticus, right? So he read what we read in chapter 19. So, and he's committed himself, right? He actually standing there saying, no, I am going to follow God's law, right? He committed. He's telling everybody, because he's a priest, he's wearing priestly robes and everything, so he's saying, I'm going to follow him. So all the priests back then are from the tribe of Levi, right? All priests were Levites, but not all Levites were priests. Does that make sense? So, but you had to be from that tribe in order to be a priest. It's just the way they had it set up. So a priest would have been, as you can imagine, he would have been viewed as probably the best of the best, morally speaking, right? He's following God's law, no matter what. Now, who's the second person we're talking about in this story? Cassia? A Levite. Sorry. A Levite. So like I said, we're all Levites, priests. Why are they talking about priests and Levites? It's basically the same thing. And there's a little bit of difference. Like I said, not all Levites were priests. So Levites, because every priest came from them, they'd probably be viewed as the best of the best of the common people, of the ordinary people, the non-priest, morally speaking, right? Because all priests came from them. So they'd have to be kind of like the best of the best of your normal man, if you will. Make sense? And more than likely, the person asking the question to Jesus, he was a lawyer, but he was probably a Levite. All right, third person we're talking about in this group?
A meritor?
Is that like...
Samaritan.
Oh, it's not like Aquaman?
Yes, exactly like Aquaman.
Samaritan. So we're going to be talking about the Samaritan a lot. We'll call him Sam. So Sam wasn't looked too fondly on from the Jews at this time. It actually felt like they were a half-breed. They were a mixture of Jew and Gentile. And they looked down and they were inferior. They were hated by the Jews. And if somebody hates somebody, typically that person returns that favor, right? So Samaritans hated the Jews, and the Jews hated the Samaritans. It was a hate-hate situation. Now, the fourth person we're talking about is Jesus.
What?
Jesus is telling the story, but...
I don't know.
Huh? Well, Luke wrote it down, but Jesus is telling the story.
I know the answer.
Aiden? Who's the fourth guy in the story?
The innkeeper.
No, that's the fifth guy. Yeah, you're supposed to be listening. Say it at the same time. One, two, three. Yeah, I know he said it, but he didn't raise his hand. And I asked Aiden.
I was just told not to raise my hand and just blurted it out. That's actually what you said.
What?
Someone said just blurted it out. Either you or her.
Her name's Michelle.
Yeah, it was Michelle. So the guy was hurt, right? So we know this about the guy that was hurt. He was hurt. No, we know he started out from Jerusalem, right? So more than likely, he's a Jew. He's traveling from Jerusalem. He's from Jerusalem. He's going to Jericho. He's a Jew. So his countrymen were whom? Do you have a question? Yes.
Is Jericho the place that, like, what's his name? The guy who got ate by a fish.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Is that a different place?
Huh?
Is that a different place?
Yeah.
What's the other place then?
Nineveh. Yeah, no difference. It's all the same. So, all right, so who would be this man's countrymen in the story? Huh? The people of Israel, right. And which are in the story? There's two guys in the story that would be also Jewish. The priest and the Levite, right? And then how would he feel about the Samaritan?
He'd be like,
right. So pretend that TJ never read that story. He never read Luke, right? Just pretend you didn't. Who would you expect or who would you think would help this man? Who should help this man? Let's ask that question. Who should?
The priest. The priest should have helped him because he came across him first. And if he had basic human decency, then he would have helped.
Right. You got another answer?
Everyone.
Everyone is correct. Everyone should have helped him.
Because if the priest
would have just helped him first, they would have had a chance, right? But if the priest gave him up, if the priest went by, then the Levite should have helped him. Right, nobody helped him except for the Samaritan.
But he was already dead, right?
No, he was just beaten.
He said dead man.
No.
He
said severe.
Oh.
Almost dead.
Almost.
Okay, so there's a half dead man on the street and no one helped him.
Half dead.
Except for the Samaritan helped him.
So
yeah.
The Samaritan helped him. But he's not the Samaritan.
No, he's Jewish.
Wait, no, but the dude who's dead. Bro.
Yeah, that's
weird. Oh. Oh, okay. What?
Okay, wait, so I'm just trying to get this straight real quick. So dude is like dying on the road and no one helped him except for the Samaritan, but the dude on the road doesn't like the Samaritan.
But the priest helped him.
No.
The priest went on the other side of the road to get around him. Same with the Levite.
Yeah, the priest is mean, bro. The priest should just have helped him, honestly.
Right? But I'm just saying, typically, if these guys were both healthy, they're walking down the street, they're not liking each other. That's the point. That's your typical view of these people. So in Luke, Luke 10:36, can you read that? Because you got it.
Yeah, that's not the right verse.
Isn't it?
That's 34.
That's 39.
That's doesn't say anything yet. It's washed. It's a water stain.
Oh,
there are 36.
Oh, you said 26.
You did say 26.
I said.
Why do I have 37 then? Wait,
what? Because it's 36 through 37, and I messed up.
Oh,
but
it
says 36.
Shh. I think it's gone smooth 1 week. I'm not gonna lie.
36 and 37, because we're skipping. We're forgetting the one part. No, but put it up there. Okay, there it is.
So which of these three,
Yes,
Nate. Yeah.
So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?
And then 37, sorry.
Hold on.
Okay. And he showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise.
I know the answer to your question.
What's my question?
Your question is, who is your neighbor? And the answer is, everybody should be
your
neighbor.
Bro, he already asked
and you
that.
Need to be a neighbor to everyone else.
I know, but Jesus explained this, and yes, it's the one who showed mercy, so Jesus just expanded the neighborhood, didn't he?
Yeah.
He expanded the neighborhood to the Jews' point of their mind. Mine was just blown. Include people, but he expanded that neighborhood to include people with different thoughts, different beliefs, to people who don't necessarily look or act like yourselves. So it is pretty much everybody, because he just expanded that. Now, love your neighbor isn't a ushy-mushy kind of love. It's the same love God has for us. So love is observant. Noticing when somebody is in pain. Looking for an opportunity to help. You know, like I said, I just don't call this guy Sam because he's the Samaritan. It's just too long. But Sam, he may have thought this guy, oh, maybe this guy just took off all of his clothes, poured ketchup on himself, and is taking a nap right now on the side of a public road. Maybe that's what happened. Right? Now, it would probably have been hard not to see this, but he saw somebody that needed help. You know, it might have been not, oh, geez, I don't want to look at that. But he saw somebody in help, and he helped them instead. Right? Love is compassionate. Sam, felt bad for what happened to this guy. You know, hoping for the best for others. Right? He's hoping for the best. He hopes that everybody down that road doesn't fall into thieves. But he was truly sad when it did happen. He was compassionate. And then love is responsive. You know, he didn't just feel bad. He did something to fix the situation. Right? Love is sacrificial. Now, Sam could have done just like those others. You know, he could have walked right by. Nobody probably would have died. That guy would have died. Nobody would have known. He'd been fine, right?
I mean, technically people would have known because they would have walked by.
But who's there to tell that they walked by? Right? He could have walked by just like the other ones. You know, he could have been late for something important, right? Could have had a business meeting. He could have been going to see his girlfriend or his wife, right?
He's speeding on a camel.
He's speeding, right? Love does not care about convenience. You think it'd be convenience to help a naked man, just a stranger on the side of the road? That'd be a little weird, right? It wouldn't be convenient. Love doesn't care about how much it cost. Sam stopped. First, you know, he gave him a ride, you know, gave up his ride to this man, making his travels harder, right? Now he has to walk. But he also gave him things that he owned. You know, the wine, the bandages, those would all cost money, right? And then he got him somewhere safe and to have somebody help him. And it cost him 2 denarii. And now at denarii, 1 denarii is your typical 1 day's wages. So he gave up not only the stuff he already owned, but he gave up 2 days' wages for this guy he doesn't even know. Love gets others involved. Sam got the innkeeper to take care of him, right? Sure, he paid him. Now, we don't know if the innkeeper, maybe the innkeeper's a really great guy, he would have done it for free. But Sam wanted to bless the person fell upon the thieves, and he also wanted to bless the innkeeper. Because if you're doing a job, you deserve to get paid. Let's face it. So Sam was willing to do that, was willing to pay the innkeeper his time to help out, but he got him involved. Love gets others involved. Love has no ending. So Sam told the innkeeper, what did he tell him at the end of the story? Yes?
He said to take care of him and that if he spent more than 2 denarii, that he'd come back and repay.
Right. So he's doing a check up. So love didn't end. He helped him. He didn't just forget about the guy. He's coming back, right? He's coming back through. Yeah, I mean, the injured guy might not still be there, but he's going to check up. I'm sure he's going to ask the innkeeper, so, hey, is the guy all right? Did he leave here okay? Did he have a limp? I don't know. You know, so he's going to check up on him. So love doesn't end. Love wonders how things worked out. Romans 13, 11 through 13.
Oh, my.
Lana?
I haven't read in like 5 decades. I only read it once.
Knowing the sun, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly
Okay, typically in the Bible, when it's talking about light and darkness, what is it talking about?
The sun and the moon.
Huh? The sun and the moon. Yeah. Perfect.
The moon is still light.
Wait, was that right?
Huh?
Was that right?
Well, you're sort of right, yeah. But it's more talking about good and evil. Light is what? Light would represent
good,
righteousness, and darkness or the night. Yo, huh?
What?
The mean stuff, right? Yeah. The dark stuff, the stuff what's unclear, the stuff that we can't see clearly, and that's what we can't see God clearly. That's what it's representing, light and darkness, right? So what is that saying? What is that? Those passage, that what is that passage saying to you guys? Anybody has a? You don't know.
Bad is here, but.
Bad is here.
But. However, light will come eventually. So don't be a chump and, you know, be cool and stuff. Don't be dark. Be light.
Oh, that's crazy. That's exactly what it says. Don't be a chump. So what it says to me is that now Jesus told us he's coming back. Right? He told us coming back, and Jesus is not a liar. Right? He's never lied. You know, everything he says, he's going to make sure it comes true. So he is coming back. Nobody knows the hour or the day. Right? I'm sure you've heard that. Because nobody knows. However, after today, we know for sure we're one day closer to it happening. Right? It's only logical sense is that after this coming hour, it's 1 hour closer. So what happens if that day comes and Jesus finds you making fun of somebody? Maybe getting drunk. Maybe breaking any law. Or fighting with somebody. Or disrespecting your parents. What happens if that's the day Jesus comes back and finds you in this situation? You think that'd be a good day? Think you'd be like, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, please, Jesus, come back tomorrow. I'll be much better tomorrow if you just do this. I would be better. And he's like, okay, well, all right, I'll come back tomorrow. No, he's coming back today. So it's today. So that's what it's today we need to be better. You know, we can't wait for tomorrow. Because we don't know what tomorrow brings. In Romans 13:14, Cassia?
Thank you. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts.
I mean what? So put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? It's not about appearance. We're not just to, oh, we look all godly. It's about doing what Jesus would do. It's about taking Jesus with us wherever we go. It's, oh, you'd like me to go to a party? Oh, can my friend Jesus come with me? It's like asking the question, can my friend Jesus come with me? What do you mean, no? That's awful sus, right? Don't you hate it when old people say it's new fads? I don't know. tell you what. I would rather hang with Jesus. I would rather hang with Jesus than get a chance to never get invited to another party. Right? Ephesians 5:8. 5:8, right? Aiden, can you read that? So we're supposed to be a children of light, a light to the world, right? Which means we're walking righteously and with God.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Luke, can you end us in prayer?
What?
Can you end us in prayer?
I don't know, man.
I bet you can.